The beating I took during the break. I led going into the break, you know, what we've got coming up, sort of set it up. And with such, as you called, conviction.
Yes.
I go, coming up next, we're going to go out to Vegas, do a little prognosticating with Brad Powers. And Charlie hits the break, and you guys just bang the hell out of me.
Well, Charlie and I look at each other, and I felt bad breaking the news to you. I said, Brad was on yesterday. Today's Thursday.
Yeah,
we have Corbs.
I know.
I know you know.
I know.
But I had to tell you. Anyway.
I brain farted, okay?
It happens, bro.
I mean.
Hey, I'm north of 50. It happens to me all the time.
Yeah. So anyway, that's yesterday.
Yeah.
Today is Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin joining us on the F&M Bank phone line, I think. Hey, Tim. How you doing,
hey, coach,
man?
Coach, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. All the way here from Las Vegas.
Let's talk some sports betting, everybody, with Corbs.
A2, Brute. Oh, man. I deserve it. But the thing is, Tim, was so funny. I said it with such conviction.
Yeah.
I mean, boom.
You had me convinced.
Yeah. So, anyway, tomorrow we'll announce you coming on at 9:25 as well. So, hey, you know, it's been the level of talent that you've been playing here the last 3 weeks, pretty amazing. They put something. I was watching the game on Tuesday afternoon up in Louisville, and the ESPN broadcast put up the winningest programs since the start of the 2007-08 season, each with 641 wins. And I would have guessed Vanderbilt and might have guessed Louisville, but wow, both of you have sort of, your ascent has sort of paralleled each other with you and what Dan has done up there.
Well, he's certainly done a nice job. We started playing one another in 2008 when he went from Ole Miss to Louisville, and he moved that program. I think it was 2007 was his first year, and they went right to the College World Series. He took a group of kids who I think were pretty talented, some seniors, but he found some gold right away. He did a nice job with them, and they certainly played well in the College World Series their first time out. But since that time, he's really, that program's been a model of consistency. So he's done a wonderful job, and got a good rivalry between both schools for sure.
Well, a lot of that has to do with you meeting, and I thought at times some laziness on the selection committee with the pairings, but your paths cross quite often in the postseason. Now, when you get to the College World Series, those games aren't, you know, initially set up by whoever sets those things up, but it just, that's another reason, because you've sort of, your paths have crossed, I guess, because of vicinity and everything. But this midweek series, Battle for the Barrel, is which you guys started, I think, in 2012. I think this was the ninth one. I don't know many midweek college baseball rivalries that have that kind of level of intensity and competitiveness.
You're right. I mean, it's kind of got a football feel to it, the old Oak and Bucket. You know, it's just a game that we took and we made something out of it, and it's, you know, just one time. But you mentioned we've run into them quite a bit. 2009 and 2010 were really the 2 years back to back that Louisville and Vanderbilt got very familiar with one another, and we played them in the regular season. But we went to Louisville twice as regional pairings, and they were the host. And that's when, you know, to your point, it felt like the regional committee was getting a little bit lazy, because they were sticking two very good teams with one another because they were relatively close and we were banging on one another, and that's when the rivalry grew. I think 2009, we had a pretty good team. They did too. We went there. They beat us. 2010, I thought, was one of their best teams, and we went there and won the final game on a safety squeeze. And then after that time, that was the flood year in Nashville. We played the game for a benefit, and then after that, 2012, that's when it became the barrel game. And it's been, as you mentioned, a good game. I think Dan spoke out after the game the other night, and you know, I appreciated his words, just in terms of it was there was no crowd there, and it was just because the state and Louisville would not allow fans in. So it didn't have the same feel to it. And I think, you know, from his vantage point and our vantage point too, that was too bad for the kids, because you want to see that game promoted and the fans have a great time coming, and it adds to it, but it didn't happen. So, you know, hopefully things will grow next year.
Coach, you mentioned, you know, the game the other night. You know, you guys played pretty well, but one bad inning kind of set the tone for this game, and I guess that's baseball, Susan, right? I mean, it's crazy how just one bad inning can make a game go out of whack.
I think, especially when you're not really swinging the bats that well, John, that was, you know, our deal. It didn't feel like we had a lot of juice, and you know, I felt that. I think no excuses. I mean, we had a long weekend. We were supposed to play that game at 7 o'clock, and we got right back into buses on early Tuesday morning and drove up there. But I just felt like we didn't have much juice. Now, I say that. I don't think the game did. You know, we got seven hits. They got five. They scored seven runs. We scored two. And we didn't really get any big hits at any point in time. We didn't string any offense together. And I just felt like our barrels were behind a little bit. And but I thought we pitched well. You mentioned the one inning. That was really the only inning that I felt like we kind of came undone a little bit. We had a walk and then a miscue on a tough decision in the infield. Then we had a balk, and then we had a runner picked off, but we threw the ball into center field. So it was just kind of a calamity for a short amount of time. But the damage was done during that inning. We couldn't muster a comeback. We started to at the end. We loaded the bases in the final inning, but we just couldn't get the big hit. So move forward and understand that these things happen, and we have had a tough go of it in terms of traveling, played good teams, and I think when you put things in perspective, you know that at some point in time during the year, it's not always going to look the way you want it to, but you hope that when we get back here, we'll be able to be a little bit rested, even though we're going through exams and get through the weekend.
Well, also, you started Christian Little, the freshman. He looks the part. I tell you, if he is the heir apparent to your top two, you know, there were some freshmen in there. We saw it at times, but I like. I think he's got a bit of that attitude you like. I sense that anyway. Hadn't seen him pitch a lot, but I really like his makeup.
No, I appreciate you saying that. He is. Yeah, he's a. You know, his year has been, I think he'll look back at this year and go, holy cow, I can't believe I did that. You know, he went to school his sophomore year, high school sophomore year, and last year was his junior year, COVID year. So he hasn't been in school since his sophomore year of high school. And so this really should be his senior year of high school. So the young man at 17 years of age is thrust into this program without a fall and has done pretty well for himself. You know, it's been sporadic, but I think anyone could understand that. But I think you see the physical abilities. You see the size, you see the strength, you see the fastball. I thought the other night was the best game that he had pitched. I thought his command was good. He got to the strike zone. He made very few mistakes. You know, if you give up a solo home run, you give up a solo home run. Those don't beat you. It's the multiple run shots that get you beat a little bit. But I thought he did a really nice job of keeping us in the ball game and getting us deep, too. You know, he got us into the sixth inning, which was good. And then after that, we went freshman. So he threw four freshmen against a very good team. So it's a good experience for those boys anyway.
Do you handle a 17? Have you ever had a 17-year-old on your roster?
No. Yeah. I mean, this is our first time.
And, yeah.
You wonder sometimes, is it fair? But the reality is, if we don't get him, we probably don't get him next year. You know, just from a draft standpoint. He falls in the draft. And he wanted to avoid that. His parents did not want him to go through that. They wanted him in school, and they felt like, you know, this was the best decision for him, is to get him in academically, get him moving in the right direction. He's going to go to summer school this summer, which is good. He's going to catch up a little bit. But, yeah, he's a quality kid, and he's, you know, from a quality family. And I'm glad to see some of the growth. I'm seeing some academic growth, and that's usually where you start to see physical growth, is when you start to see organization outside of the game, and I'm seeing that from him.
Tim Corbin is our guest. Coach, you mentioned it yesterday. How happy are you to get back to the Hawk and for this series with Alabama after so many tough games on the road?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think for several reasons, John. I think number one, to play at home. Number two, to play at home while we're going through exams. I think that that's a tough deal. You know, the guys have they're carrying their books up to Louisville, studying on the way back. So you know, there's a lot going through their mind. You can tell, and every year you feel this way with them. But you know what? It's part of the college experience. No one's complaining, but I think, you know, there's such a breath of fresh air when it's all over with. So, you know, they've got a lot on their plate. And in a unusual year, it's a little bit different because it just the exams don't fall on one day. They've got a lot of projects because it's a lot of non-personal activities away from classrooms, non-traditional. And you know, you go back to a guy like Christian Little, that's not easy for him either. His first term in school is without person training. So, that's a little bit difficult. But I think just to be home and looks like it's good weather for the weekend and it's growing in fan attendance, which is good. A couple weeks from now we'll have 100%, which will be nice. But we're certainly happy to be home against a very good team here.
Yeah, how difficult is that? I mean, you've navigated through this, you know, your entire tenure as a collegiate head coach, but this time of year where, you know, you mentioned it, projects are due, finals are coming up, et cetera, et cetera. These kids have a lot on their plate, and you're trying to keep them, you know, motivated and ready to go. And you talked about a lack of juice the other night. How difficult is that for you as a coach to navigate through all this?
I mean, I think it is. I think it's almost like knowing when to pull the plug a little bit. We just told him to, you know, stay away from the facility and for no other reason than to reset, you know, just to kind of concentrate on academics and get away from the facility. Not swinging the bat's going to do them some good and not throwing the ball around is going to do them some good. And you get in here today and you get into a nice workout and prepare for the weekend. But I think it's just those times, John, when you know that, okay, we don't really need to do anything right now. We need to kind of release them from this so they can kind of regroup a little bit and do them some good. So, yeah, I think it's just kind of feeling your team and knowing when enough's enough and knowing when to kind of ramp it up a little bit. But right now it's a time where you got to be selective in what you do and certainly put them in a position where they can feel their legs and they can feel their brain more than anything and act accordingly.
That feeling of the brain part, man, I hadn't done that in years, apparently. But Tim Corbin with us on the F&M Bank phone line. All of that said, still tied for first in the East, two series to go. Talk about, obviously, you want to win the East. You want to get the best seeding in there. But we know there's a larger picture. I'm not going to get you looking ahead of Friday. Don't worry about that. But do you sense that, you know, this is sort of there's ebbs and flows, and you talk about all those external things you're having to deal with your team, but that maybe you want your team playing its best ball again in mid-May going forward. Is that, I know we're almost mid-May, but late May, let's call it that, and then into June. Do you do anything particular to try to get peaking at the right time?
Yeah, I think as far as setting up the training environment and the days off and, you know, not doing the same thing all the time. You know, it's when you have those off days, what you do with them is just as important as anything. I think we do some group individual work on certain days rather than train as a team, and I think it's good. I think it's just making sure that this time of year, they don't swing the bat too much. You know, it's like the hay's in the barn. You know, it's more about being mentally prepared than anything else. And I think the other piece, which we do pretty well, is when school is over, then we hit the weight room pretty good. That's when there's another clip of strength training that takes place, just because you know that we've got more time, they've got more recovery time, And also, the temperature of the games and the temperature of the weather is moving in a northward direction, and it takes a lot out of their body. So you just want to be mindful of that. But at the same time, their body needs to be prepared for that. And I think that those are the areas of accent. But, yeah, I've always felt like we play good baseball towards the end of the year. I've always felt that way about our group, and we'll continue to do that. And, I you know, as many times as we've spoken on Thursday morning, I've always felt, going back to the beginning of the year, regardless of what the record was, I felt like if we could stay healthy, which has been tough for us, certainly from a pitching standpoint, we had a chance to get better at the end of the year. And I still feel that way. I still feel like there's a lot of growth with this bunch.
Do you notice the subtle reminder that today is Thursday coming from Tim?
Yeah, today is Thursday, not Wednesday.
I caught that, Tim. Thanks a lot.
I just like the fact that he has the boys in the weight room. You've seen Corbs' guns. You know, he sets the example. He sets the tone, man.
Oh, God.
Hey, Tim, I'll be honest with you. When I think of you, I don't think guns. I'll just tell you, okay? I mean,
yeah, we think natties.
I think you are more cerebral. But, all right, Friday night at 6:30, Saturday at 2, Sunday at 1, Alabama in town, and then you got to go to Ole Miss and back with Kentucky. And so three more weekends to go of SEC play. As always, thanks for joining us on Thursday morning.
Thank you, Coach.
Happy Thursday, Greg.
Thanks, Tim. Tim Corbin banging on me on the F&M Bank phone line. I